Wrapping up Janet Yellen's leadership of the Fed. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee will meet this week. Coming off a strong jobs report last week, it's widely expected to raise its benchmark interest rate a quarter of a percent, its third increase this year. Slow and gradual is the name of the game. Here to talk the Fed with us this morning is Julia Coronado. She's the founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Julia, what are you looking for out of this meeting?
It should be a pretty ho-hum affair. As you note, the economy's humming along and everybody is expecting them to hike rates for the third time this year. And there's some reassurance in that. The economy's starting to look normal again. And so it should be pretty blasé as far as Fed meetings go.
I guess if there's one notable thing about it, it's that it's the last FOMC meeting of the year, the last time we'll hear from Janet Yellen as chair. So as nostalgic as one might be able to get around these FOMC meetings, is that notable for you?
It's a bit bittersweet because it will be Chair Yellen's last press conference, and she's done a great job. She's leaving the job with the economy humming along, so that's fantastic. There's also, though, a sense that, well, we kind of wish she would have gotten renominated and stuck around for another term.
Her replacement, Jerome Powell, will take over early next year. Do you think we're going to hear anything about his plan for the Fed once Yellen's gone in 2018?
Governor Powell has been at the Fed for a while. He's worked very closely with Chair Yellen, so I think he'll stick with the plan. I don't think we're going to see major changes in the near term. The real question is what the new constellation of the Federal Open Market Committee does when we hit the next surprising development, either a negative shock or stronger than expected inflation. That's the real question. I think for now, though, it's kind of steady as she goes.
All right. Julia Coronado with Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
The head of German automaker Volkswagen made news this weekend when he questioned the need for diesel subsidies from the German government. These kinds of diesel subsidies are widespread throughout Europe, and Volkswagen is known for its diesel cars. So what gives? Here's the BBC's Jonathan Frewin.
In an interview with a German newspaper, Volkswagen's chief executive, Matthias Müller, said that he was, quote, convinced that we should question the purpose of diesel subsidies. He suggests that the money could be more meaningfully invested in greener fuel technologies, think batteries and electric cars. Diesel was historically viewed as more environmentally friendly in Europe because of lower carbon emissions. Research from the environmental campaign group Client Earth found that in 2014, European drivers paid on average around 60 cents a gallon more in gasoline taxes when compared with diesel. But sales of diesel cars have fallen in Europe since the scandal in 2015, which caught Volkswagen systematically cheating on diesel emissions tests. Some environmental activists are unimpressed with today's news. Greenpeace said the government is being urged to phase out diesel subsidies by none other than the biggest diesel fraudster.
As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Life in rural Alaska is expensive. For the many villages off the state road system, planes and boats are the only way in and out. For Port Hyden residents in southwest Alaska, a gallon of milk can cost more than $20, a pound of bacon more than $13. So the village came up with funding to run a farm as a way to produce its own food. From public radio station KDLG in Alaska's Bristol Bay, Avery Lill has more.
Meshik Farms reindeer trot toward the door of their pen. No snorting or animal noises. It's no wonder they're Santa's animal of choice for a quiet trip around the world. 19-year-old Jake Carlson walks behind them.
I just walk them. They usually listen to what I want them to do.
Carlson works for the village as a farmer. He makes $15 an hour and puts in roughly 30 hours a week. In addition to the reindeer, he takes care of pigs, chickens, rabbits, and a cow. A few other Port Hyden residents and some committed volunteers keep Meshick Farm running. It's funded largely by grants and donations. The purpose of this farm is twofold: to provide fresh food and economic infrastructure. Adrienne Christensen is the native village of Port Hyden's director of business development.
We would like to be a sustainable village on our own and to be able to keep those dollars and jobs in our community. We have only 100 people, so if one person is employed, that's 1% of our community more that has a job.
Reindeer herding, once popular on the Alaska Peninsula, declined in the mid-20th century. The village decided to reestablish the tradition after steep declines in the wild caribou population the majority Aleutic community normally hunts. They brought in 29 reindeer in 2015. Christensen says people in the community missed fresh game meat.
We were having to order beef and pork and chicken, and we thought, well, we should become reindeer farmers. And so we did.
It's been a learning curve. The reindeer's birth rate is good, but bears and wolves have eaten some of the animals. The village wants the population of 30 reindeer to grow to 100 before they harvest any for meat. In the meantime, the rabbits, chickens, and pigs are supplying the fresh food the village craved. At this point, the farm is not making money, but the village is committed to reestablishing a local food source, one that keeps jobs and people in the village. In Port Hyden, Alaska, I'm Avery Lill for Marketplace.
And finally, the first Bitcoin futures began trading last night, and oh, did they trade. Their price gained as much as 26% in that opening session. Heavy trading demand temporarily shut down the exchange's website twice. Price volatility has been a defining characteristic of the cryptocurrency. This weekend, the acting head of New Zealand Central Bank said Bitcoin looks remarkably like a bubble. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.